Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up. A new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. Na 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 na. We gotta change it, girl. Just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair.
Break it up with Linda
Mitchell. You
ready,
girl?
Jimmy, yeah.
That's right. Wake up out there. It is Tele Tuesday. Good evening, good afternoon, good night, good morning, wherever you're listening in from. We'd like to welcome you in. We have Stephanie Haynes coming on with us this evening, and our topic is going to be honoring yourself. You know, this is Black History, which Black History has been now and forever here, but we kind of like celebrate it. So I'm going to start off with my favorite person, Mr. James Baldwin. And the quote is, if you know from whence you came, there are absolutely no limitations to where you can go. That's right. I'm going to say it again. If you know from which you came, there are absolutely no limitations to where you can go. In order to be able to do whatever you need to do, we have to keep our bodies right. We have to watch our health. And for you diabetics out there, you want to check out Dr. Glenda Davis with ExposingDiabetes.com. Glenda Davis has the truth, and nothing but the truth for you, clearing up all these lies that you've been told, okay? Dr. Glenda Davis, whenever you see that name, whenever you see her master classes or workshops, any information and education that you can get from her is going to be very, very helpful. And before we get started, I'd like to quote my favorite mentor, Dr. Socrates Taylor. We all have to move out here on faith. And if you practice faith while doubting its effects, you will get results that are, at best, unsatisfactory. This is a reflection of your own weak faith on the mirror of the cosmos. On the other hand, when you stand up strong, confident, you will accrue limited blessings. And you know, we all want to be blessed out here. So I'm going to play this from a play that I saw a year and a half ago, Heated Discussions. Think about it. We have to honor ourselves, and we also have to remember our ancestors and remember what they have told us to do. Just listen up, and then we're going to bring in the dynamic, Miss Stephanie Haynes, our master.
What would they say?
What would our leaders of old say? Would they see the news today?
activists, the artists, the writers, when they look at us and see our pain, what would they say?
What would they say? They could feel our pain. If they were here today,
what would
Malcolm say? What would Martin
say?
If they could see our pain,
what would
Maya say? What would Nina say? They say, if we choose to fight, would Maya Angelou have a call to utter to help us rise up from this dark, painful gutter? What kind of story would James Baldwin write? And what speech could Martin Luther King preach to shed some light? Lorraine and Barry write a new ballet that deals with all the heartache that we're going through today? If they were here today, oh, if they could feel our pain, I wanna know if they were here today. I wanna know
what would they say?
To the breaking news we see,
what would they say?
What would they say if we choose to bend the knee?
What would they say?
Not even Richard Pryor would dare to crack a joke.
What would they say
when he sees a man who was bound, cuffed and choked?
Tell you what I hear every day. We must elevate our lives in order to pull up those who can't. So we honor ourselves, so therefore we can honor each and every person of the shoulders that we stand on here. We have Miss Stephanie Haynes on the line with us, our master, that's going to share with us. Stephanie, are you here? Welcome in.
Yes, good evening, Linda and listeners. How are you today?
Stephanie, we're great over here. We've had some technical challenges, but we got through them. You know, we don't be defeated. I'm so glad that you're sharing and caring with us. I know you're busy, busy, busy out there. I've been seeing all of those things you're out there doing. We appreciate you taking your time to come on and give us some education here. Stephanie, welcome, welcome, welcome.
All right. So, listeners, so today session is on honoring ourselves. But before we get started with that, I'm going to start with a poem. And it's called Soul Love. And this is by my daughter, Tracy Cobbs.
Okay.
Words cannot express how much you mean to me. You are my everything. You are the manifestation of my unspoken prayers that flows from the deepest desires of my heart. You became what I didn't know I wanted, what I thought I didn't deserve. Though you were there all along, my eyes were straight, covered by fleshly desire. I pray not my will be done, and not knowing that walking in his will would bring me straight to you. You have helped me to become a better person. You inspire me to walk upright and in integrity. You are my hope of a better tomorrow. The peace in knowing that with you by my side, the peace to my puzzle seems to be a little clearer. More complete, and every time I see a portion of my puzzle, smile seeing how perfectly we fit together. I am in love with your smile, your touch, your compassion, your honesty. I am in love with you. My heart smiles at your presence. Rejoice at the thought of you. My soul forever longs to be in your presence. I found he whom my soul loveth, and my soul loves all of you. By Tracy Cobbs. Now, mind you, this particular daughter, you know, actually all of my daughters, you know, she, when she wrote this poem, she wasn't married. She was Tracy Settles at the time. She's Tracy Cobbs now. And with a beautiful husband and 5 children. And they're all amazing, every one of her children. She has been blessed, I mean, multiple times. Her children are amazing. And she sent me a video, not a video, a picture last week with all of her children in a chess tournament.
Wow.
And the 5-year-old was in a chess tournament. And I tell you, each and one of them excel. And I read this poem because we're talking about honoring ourselves. And my daughter, she has to begin to honor herself to be able to attract the man she has in her life now. And it's all the goals within self-love, knowing what you want, setting your boundaries, learning to say no without feeling guilty, taking off the mask, moving forward, and, you know, forgiveness, and learning to let go. And we went through all of those sections at the beginning of, I say, towards the end of the year that we started working on the healing of the womb, and we, you know, closing in to the near end of this book. But the most important thing is that we as an individual has to know who we are, what we want, and setting boundaries with ourselves. You know, and also living in our purpose. You know, and that's very important, having that relationship with self. And that will be, you know, our next topic that we'll be going into next week. You know, going in and digging in the relationship with ourselves and others and with a mate. So at this moment, we're going to start with some questions. So if you got your pens and your papers out, if you don't, go grab those.
Before we All go right. into those questions, Stephanie, I'd just like to say, what a beautiful poem. What beautiful words. But, you know, apples don't fall too far from the tree. And why wouldn't she be as remarkable as she is, and her children also? Because look whose blood flows through their veins, okay? I have to give you that. That is a beautiful poem. I'd like to get a copy of that, please, so that I can
Oh, and that's it. It's in your book.
It is
in
the
your book.
Book. Okay.
It's in
okay.
the book, yes.
All right.
Yes, in
okay.
your book.
And it was under the, I think you threw me. when you said Tracy Carr, because she was Tracy Settles. Okay, I got it now. Okay, well, I have it here.
Oh, yes.
But I'm going to get it blown up and put in a beautiful frame, okay? Because it's
a beautiful
frame.
Yes, it's on page 68.
Okay.
Page 68.
Mm-hmm. Oh. And that's the book, The Healing of the Womb, guys. If you want to get that book, there is a keeper. Everything in it. Okay, I'm going to be quiet over here, but I had to give you that.
Okay, so we're going to start with question number one. What steps would you take to be true to yourself? You know, and we talked about taking off that mask, right? But really living in our authentic self, that we can just live in the rawness of ourselves. And living in the rawness of ourselves is to be able to have no pretensions, no, what I would say, counterfeits, no phoniness,
mm-hmm.
you know, not faking it like you make it, as they say, fake it till you make it, not,
mm-hmm.
not any of that, but really being in your present self in the moment, who you are at the moment. Without putting on any mask. And when you can live in that existence of just being who you are and not trying to be anything or anybody else, you know, that's where you find that true happiness, because you're not pleasing anyone but yourself.
Mm-hmm.
When
yeah.
you're trying to go out of your way to try to please someone, that's when you run into trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Because if a person cannot accept you for who you are, then they're not for you.
Mm-hmm.
So just be mindful of that. All right. And then number two, what steps are you willing to take to allow your conscious and inner spirit to guide you, not others, not what your parents want you to be, your mate wants you to be, and not what your siblings or anybody else wants you to be, but really sitting with yourself and allowing your inner spirit to speak to you and to guide you, because that we all have that little voice that speaks to us. And if we can cut down the mental chatter, we can hear that voice guiding us, warning us. Sometimes we miss those little signals and warnings because we have other loud chatter in our head, keeping us from hearing what we need to hear. Number three, what are your morals and values? And this day and time, I look at our youth, and it just seems that the morals and values just went out the window.
Okay.
Any and everything goes. You know, they say if you don't stand for something, you'll stand for anything. Yeah, so we have to, you know, keep those values and those morals. And if you don't have any, create some. And let those be your legacy and what you live by for your family and yourself. It's very important. How do you apply your morals and values in your daily life? Do you let down your guards? Do you give in? Or do you keep your boundaries around certain situations or values or morals that you have? Number five, how would you honor and respect the universe, yourself and others? Because we share in this universe. It's unknown to us. We are just spiritual beings having a human experience. So it's up to us as human to respect the universe. to respect others. And if you don't have respect for yourself, then you cannot respect others. What step will you take to speak and live positively and restrain all negative forces? And you might say, wow, that's very hard to do. And sometimes it can be. But the most important thing is to recognize it for what it is and then process it the way it needs to be processed. Because some things, when things are projected onto us, it doesn't have anything to do with us. The person is going through a bad day. And our job and position is to allow them to go through whatever they're going through and just hold that space for them until they come out of what negativity they're in. And the most important thing is unmatching their energy so you don't get caught up into the drama and the trauma.
Mm-hmm.
Number six, what steps will you take to speak and live vividly and restrain from all negative forces? What steps will you take to speak and live positively and restrain from all negative forces? Number seven, how will you create peace, happiness, joy, and love in your life? Is there some people or things that you need to let go of? Do you need to start setting boundaries, healthy boundaries, so you don't become the doormat? So how will you create that peace? Will you start to say no without feeling guilty? Will you start breaking away from other people's expectations? Number eight, what step will you take to live in truth every day? Now, that's another thing to do, to live in your truth, having that courage to speak up when you need to speak up, or not to get involved, putting down another individual. It's easy to do. But the best thing to do is not to get engaged. Because when you're engaged, you might as well be part of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
In which you are part of the problem, because now you step down to their level.
Mm-hmm.
And step over into their playground.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're playing the same game.
Mm-hmm.
Even though your intentions was not to, but when you become a part of the problem, then you might as well be a part of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
But now you step on the other side. Because you started to engage.
Yeah, that's a tough one. But when you can do it, not cutting you off, when you can do it, oh boy, do you feel so proud of yourself that you did not go over on that side. Okay, it's a good feeling, listeners. It's a good feeling. It's hard to do. It's hard.
Yes.
But try it.
Mm-hmm.
Try it. You'll see something. You grow. It gives you growth. You grow. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then it gets funny to you. And then you say, I'm not going over there. I am not going over there. And you just have to take those deep breaths and just go the other way. And you know what I find? It kind of like, it can be intimidating to the individuals who are trying to pull you there. They don't know what to do. They don't know where to go.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets funny. It really gets funny. I've tried it. I've had to do it on several occasions. And the more I've had to do it, it gets funny to me. but it also gives me that another notch on that redwood tree, but it feels good. So that one I like. I put two checks by that one, Stephanie. That one, mm-hmm. I had to speak up. Okay, I'm going to be quiet over here now. Keep on going.
Okay, that's very important because, you know, especially in the workplace, you know, you have individuals that always like to talk about another coworker.
Oh, God, yes.
And then getting involved in that negativity, then it's become a toxic workplace.
Yes. Yes, it does. It definitely
yes.
does.
Mm-hmm. So you want to be mindful how you engage when you participate in the negativity.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. All right, so let's go to the next one. Number 9, what steps will you take to spend quality time with yourself? Now, that's mm-hmm. important, to spend quality time with yourself. Because if you're always on the go, 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 and don't sit back and have time to really stop and process and evaluate and reassess, mm-hmm. then you're all over the place.
Yeah.
You know, with my life schedule, I have to find myself to retreat sometimes and to not do nothing.
Okay.
You know, sometimes I on the weekend, I just stay in the bed and just sleep because my
mm-hmm.
body is calling for it because
mm-hmm.
I do so much, you know. And then, you know, it's very important, you know, trying to get to bed at 10 o'clock, you know, has been a struggle for me.
Okay.
Because I'm always working up, at, you know, working through the night. But sometimes I promised myself this year to have it to be resting at 10 o'clock.
I got you.
May not
I
be
got
sleep.
You.
May
okay.
not be sleep, but I'm resting.
Yes.
I'm not
Step
in
down.
The streets running, but I'm resting, right?
Okay. Okay.
So. And when I find that, you know, I'm more alert, I'm more focused. You know,
mm-hmm.
I can get six. If I get 6 hours of sleep, that's good for me.
Okay.
You know, I really don't need 8 hours to function. But if I can get a good 6 hours in, that's good. Because if
mm-hmm.
I oversleep, I'm just tired.
I am too.
I'm tired.
Yeah.
I'm tired when I wake up. I'm not refreshed when
okay.
I wake up. And people would think, oh, you got rested. But no, if my body only can handle 6 hours, and if I go more than 6 hours, and when I wake up, I'm tired. I'm not rejuvenated. So know your body. Know, you know, what it takes for you to get rejuvenated. Okay, so the next one is, how will you improve your quality of life? And I'm going to ask you that question, Miss Linda.
How can I
what
improve my cool.
So what are some of the things... So what are some of the things that you do to, you know, improve your quality of life?
Well, I changed my diet, my eating habits. That's
mm-hmm.
that's a big plus. And, of course, you know, I don't have a problem taking that me time because I can shut down on you. In a crowd of 1,000 people, I'm going to take my me time. But I think... What the latest is I've changed my eating habits, okay? And I notice great things, okay? Notice more energy. I notice a different look. I notice, ooh, that was a budge over there and it's gone. But I also know that it's not a diet. It is a way, it is a mindset. It is a way of eating. So that's one improvement. Another improvement to change my quality of life, I don't deal with people that's doing stinking thinking. And I don't allow myself to do stinking thinking. And you know that stinking thinking is on the left side is saying, yeah, but blah, blah, blah. But then that right side, that stinking thinking comes in. Oh, do it this way, and they this, and they that. I don't allow that in, okay? Because you and I know that that is a form of a Sanchishina, as we call it. That's like that's putting that blockage there. So I improve on that, the way I think, my mindset, the way my eating habits, even my sleeping habits, too. I used to function off of 5 hours of sleep. I could go for five. But I'm like in that sixth bracket now. And if I go further than that, I feel the same way. I'm tired and I'm sluggish and I feel guilty that I missed something that I should have been up doing. But basically, I've improved with the diet and the way of thinking and not getting pulled into what was when I put a mark on what will you take to leave. To live your truth every day. I've always lived my truth, but now I'm really living it, okay? But I'm learning how to live it in a, I won't say more positive way, in a more softer way, but I'm living it because it's my truth, okay? And because it's my truth, can't nobody get up in there, all right? And it's fun. It's also, I'm glad you asked me that question. Yeah, the quality time, the me time, you know, I'm a firm. I will sit up all day and stare at the ceiling if that's all I want to do. And nobody can get in, nobody can infiltrate, and as long as the ceiling don't fall on me, I'm not moving. So the me time is very, very important, very, when everybody's pulling at you, when this one is calling, that one is calling, and they want you to go here, and basically to keep saying no. Okay, that's a real important one. Learn how to say no with no explanation. No, nobody explanation. Okay, no, can't do it that time. I'll have to get back to you. So then you're taking control, and of course, all of it, all of these questions you ask me. One, you know, I'm gonna go up and down the list. Setting those boundaries, you know, that's very important because you cannot live open access to people who are coming in that's not showing love. I'll put it that way. If that makes sense. Yeah, you see, love is not supposed to hurt. It ain't supposed to hurt at all. So those are my ways. But basically, my eating habits have changed, which makes me want to get more healthier, okay, and do more things out in nature because I'm seeing that butterfly a little bit clearer, okay? The air smells differently to me because you're not all clogged up with sinuses when that eating. We are what we eat, and that's the most important. Yeah, we are what we eat. I'm not a fanatic. Oh, don't do that or don't do this. Or why are you eating that? You know, people. Oh no, I'm not into that, and I don't like none of that around me either. But I contributed to trying to stay healthy. It's about your health because without your health, you don't have anything. You can't do anything. Sure. So I would say my eating habits, and I feel good over here. I've learned how to cook differently. Ooh, it's a lot of fun. You know, all that greasy, whatever the things I love, I still love them, but I prepare them differently. And then when I really, really put that mindset on them, I don't touch them because I know they're no good for me. Okay, so I would say eating. I don't even like to use the word diet because it's not a diet. It's a way of life, really. It becomes
a lifestyle
life.
Change.
Yes, it's totally a lifestyle change.
I call it a lifestyle change.
Yes. So I'm in a lifestyle change, and I'm loving it to death. My smile is even brighter, okay? So don't get me started over here, and I get on down with those other questions.
All righty. So what step will you take to end all bad relationships?
No. Is that another one for me, or are you just asking that?
Well, you can answer it.
Yeah, well, you know, I know how you pull things out of me. What steps would I take? Say goodbye. Like I say, love is not supposed to hurt. And it, a bad relationship brings about hurt. You get away from it, okay? You might miss it for a while, but you get away from it.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's not doing you any good, okay? You're still trying to satisfy others. Uh-uh. Satisfy yourself. It's all about you. It begins and it ends with you. Then say you don't have to be polite, courteous, and have a beautiful smile on your face, but you just get away. Because if you don't, you'll regret it later on down the line.
In a relationship. You guys been in a relationship for 20 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then all of a sudden, something happened to one of the mates where they started experiencing a lot of grief, a lot of losses. What did you do in that relationship? Do you support the person or do you leave the person because you cannot handle that person's behavior?
Well, you know, a circumstance like that, Stephanie, it depends because people change. They change. So if you want them to remain to be as they were 4 years ago, or 9 years ago, people change. So if it's something that's going to take you down, if it's something that's going to bring your health down or your psychic or whatever, if it's displeasing to you, you got to go. You have to go and bite the bullet and pull on your big boys or your big girls' bottoms. And do what you have to do. You can't. Life is not here to be miserable. Life is about peace, joy, and happiness. And if that's not happening, why are you still sitting there? It's just like going to a party, talking about the bad food and the bad music, and still sitting on the chair. Get up and go home. Okay. It's hard to do. Some people can do it. Some people can't. But if you go through that. And if you care and honor yourself, you're going to go. You have to honor yourself, and everybody up around you must honor you, too, as you're honoring them. And if they can't honor you, why are you around them? Does that make sense? It doesn't make sense to me. It's like, goodbye. Goodbye. Yeah, it's about honoring. And it starts with you first. So you out there honoring everybody. And being there for them, and then you can, no, sorry, can't do it. I won't say can't, won't do it, okay? Won't. No, I stopped doing that when I was about 16, okay? And recognize it quick when it's coming to me. And then I don't waste any time, okay? I won't waste any time because it's not a good feeling now. It's not a good feeling at all. Like I said, love should not hurt. Somebody loves you, or they're saying they love you, and they're giving you all that lip service and all of that, but they're showing you a different behavior. You got to be able to clean your glasses and see something is wrong with this picture. Because the way you love you, they're not loving you that way. And if you love you and honor yourself, you'll recognize it quickly. So that's my take on it.
Okay. So the next question is, what step will you take to create a new relationship with honesty and trust? So what are some of the things that you would do to create a new relationship with honesty and truth?
Here we go. She on me again. I know, Stephanie, you good at this stuff. What steps would you take? I'm going to flip it back on you today. I'm going to ask you, what would you take, Stephanie? I'm going to flip it back. Now it's my turn.
Well, okay. So, you know, the most important thing in starting a new relationship is making sure that you're not bringing any baggage to the relationship. And that's the most important thing, that you're not bringing any baggage and that you are sure and clear and have confidence within yourself and knowing who you are before you get into a relationship with another person.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're not, you're going to create the same thing because you take yourself everywhere you go. Right?
You do.
Right. So we cannot blame another individual.
No.
For what's happened in the relationship because it takes two, first of all. But the most important thing is really having that conversation with your partner to let him and her know your boundaries, what you stand for and what you would not stand for. And making sure that you guys are compatible and always, you know, interdependable, you know, have your same goals sexually as you're compatible. You know, because everybody's not compatible sexually, right? So making sure that your partner understands, you know, what you will and will not do in the bedroom. So that's very important. You know, so back to you, Ms. Linda. So what would you do to create a new relationship?
You want me to answer behind you, Stephanie?
Yes, I do.
Well, I'm with you. It's always being authentic, you know. A lot of people start relationships off being a fan and being who they really are not. And then eventually the real deal shows up. You always have truth, being true to yourself, being very authentic. You know, there's dialogue. Dialogue is very important. But you're not picking dialogue to be nosy. You really don't want to hear about the last night or what happened, but you must have dialogue. But I say being the most authentic you as you can. You know, I remember years ago, I love my hats. I love my hats. And I used to date this gentleman, and he said he didn't like women that wear hats. I told him, well, goodbye. I said, because people that come up around me, you have to take me hat shopping. And I love my hats. So I guess we cannot do anything because I'm not taking them off. What are you trying to hide? I said, it's my look. I don't have to hide anything. I am a hat wearer, and that's what I enjoy. Yeah. So you have to be able to be authentic, and you get that straight right off the bat. Or they see you, and they see you, and they compliment you on your dress, your outfit, and then once they get close, they be trying to tell you how to dress. You can't tell me how to dress. I mean, yeah, let's go shopping and decide it together because I'm not changing my mind. And I wouldn't want you to, you have to get it straight. You have to get it straight in the bed. We go into it wrong, trying to please and be not, you just go in there being you. I came to California years ago, and you know, we used to wear the tank tops and the no bras, right? That's what was going on. And I came to California, and my luggage went to San Francisco. And so they wanted to know what did I want to eat. I said, I want some grits, okay? I'm that Southern. I want some grits. So I was coming out the restaurant, and this guy said, oh, my God, you have a beautiful cleavage. And I said, oh, thank you. You know what he told me, Stephanie? He said, because I haven't seen any boobs. He said, I haven't seen any boobs sit up like that in a long time. I took that bra off. And it was years before I put it back on. So my mate at that time, I was looking for a job. And I didn't have my bra on. But you can't go looking for a job without a bra. I say my boobs are not doing the thinking my brain is. And if they can't take me for my brain, then they can't take me. It took me years before I put that bra back on. That man said, I haven't seen no boobs sit up. I had on my little tank top. I thought I was real cool, right? I took it off, and it was a while. So you have to be who you are, you know, no matter where you are. You have to, and when you're who you are, you don't have to worry. And those that can't deal with it, then you don't have to be around them, or you learn them very quickly. You don't have to conform to what somebody wants you to be. You have to be yourself. And maybe yourself don't blend in with that self, so that's a batch of bad blueberries and strawberries. And it's going to make for a bad smoothie, so don't get in a jar with them. Just keep on being yourself. So the honesty is the best thing, but the honesty has to start with you. You know, I can't stand fake phony. people, and you can smell them. You move from your heart. When you move from your heart, you can't do any wrong. If somebody needs to be told off, pull them around the corner and tell them off. That way, if they bring it to you in the kitchen, don't take it in the living room. Handle it in the kitchen. That keeps stress down. Okay? And a lot of people are not used to that. I've been that type of person since, I had options out there. I never was told to not speak my piece, okay, and to just be willing to deal with the consequences afterwards, but always speak your piece. So I have no problem having dialogue. So my first thing to build a new relationship is to leave. Don't worry about what the ex did. It's not important. They did it. They're no longer there. And as you say, don't take that baggage in there with you, because that's a different individual you're dealing with. And don't tell them everything they did to you, because then they'll make sure that they don't do it to you, and they're the same way. So don't talk about that. Learn that person. Be honest, have dialogue, and be authentic. And you don't have to worry. And it makes you happy, bright, and light, no matter what. No matter what goes on, no matter what goes right, no matter what goes wrong, you're happy, bright, and light. Because you're not dealing with them, you're honoring yourself. You're not being selfish, but it's you first. Better than you first. Yeah, so I hope I answered that. And don't ask me. I'm going to flip it back on you. Ask me another one. We're going to go kick the pad over here. I know how you do it, okay? But I love every minute of it. I love it. It's so good therapy.
Okay, so. All right, so now the next question is, how will you end criticism, worry, and fear in your life?
I'm not answering that. You answer that. What should one do?
Oh, you're not going to answer that one?
Mm-hmm. Nope. Because you know how I end criticism, and I don't feel like it needs to go out over the air. No. It don't mean anything to me. It's helpful. Criticism is good. Because we have eyebrows, so we can't see. Huh?
I think criticism is good. Because
it is
what
good.
You need someone to give you constructive criticism.
Yes.
And when you get because you can learn from that, right?
Yes.
And then you can have
yes.
some people that can criticize and be evil with it.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Yes.
But I think the most important thing is that to eliminate the worry and the fear is to know who you are.
That's
the most important thing, to know who you are. And then when a person is trying to criticize you, then you can take it with a grain of salt. You can take the part that you can resonate with, and the other you can just leave it there on the table.
Yes, and most of the time, depending on how they come, if the criticism is to come to help or if it's come to hurt, like you were saying.
Right.
And it's up to you to be able to decipher through that quickly.
Right.
You have to do it quickly, and that gives you your options that you can take and answer the way that you want to. Most of the time, if I think they're trying to be harmful and they're not coming to be helpful, and they jabbing and stabbing, as we say, I just shut them down by saying, yeah, you're right. I agree with them. I tell them they got good observation, and I walk away.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know what to say, but I got you, because I know you're not coming to help. You're coming to harm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So depend, but you have to know yourself. You must know yourself in order to be able to do that. You know, so okay. Here we go.
And then have confidence in yourself.
Yes.
Have confidence in yourself. Confidence is very important.
Yes, I get beat down because I've always been confident. And some people take it as arrogant or cocky. You can call it what you want to call it. No, it's confident and courageous. So call it what you want to call it. But you're not going to let anybody, if you respect, you know when you're getting disrespect. Now, I will not let anybody disrespect me. Okay, you know if it's coming, like I said, helpful or harmful. And if it's being disrespectful, then we might have to discuss this. because you can't do that. That's not going to work. Not if we don't do this stuff together, it's not going to work. And most people are like, well, I won't say nothing this time. I'll wait till they do it the next time. You better clear it up now. Because next time,
right,
they're going to come and might catch you on a bad day. Okay? And you don't want to mess up, truly mess up the relationship or the collaborative, whatever. So get it cleared then so it won't happen again. And if it comes back again, then you know how to adjust to it. Yeah, and then nowadays, you know, people, they're just going through a lot, and it's okay. We all going through a lot. But you have to really work on keeping yourself elevated. You have to stay elevated. You have to stay up. Because if you're down, when a person is weak, they can't fight for themselves. They can't defend. They can't do anything when they're weak. So you have to stay up so that you can realize their weakness so that you can pull them back up. It takes a lot of work. Wouldn't you say?
Yeah, yes, it does.
It takes a lot of work.
I think the most important thing is knowing who you are as a person.
Yes. 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 I get people give me directions, and you have different people with different personalities, and they're running their households and whatever they're doing, and then they're going to tell you what they think. And they go, yeah, well, that's good, but I'm not doing that. Okay? That's good. And then they have a surprising look because they're not used to anybody telling them that, because they're used to running their households and controlling everything. And no, I'm not doing that. Can't do that. Mm-mm. Won't do it. But I've learned how to do it with a beautiful smile and a little bit of soft power instead of coming out the old way. And you know what the old way would be. So I've changed that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a good thing. It makes me feel better. So I'm just stating, we're talking about this out there, listeners, because you can do it too. Okay, you can do it. It takes work, but you can do it.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, it takes work, and it's going to make you feel real good. You're going to feel real good about yourself, no matter what the incident is, no matter what you're going through. You have to know who you are. And when you know who you are, you know how to honor yourself. Therefore, you know how to honor others. And you know when you're not being honored. And you know what to do about that, too, because you know yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Did I answer that right, Stephanie?
Yes, you did.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, thank you.
All righty. So the next question is, what have you learned from your past mistakes?
What have I learned from my past mistakes? Then the next time I do it differently. I'll do it differently. How do you know if you made a mistake if you don't make a mistake? So I don't have a fear about making mistakes, but I just I recognize the ones that didn't work, so I try to avoid that. Okay, avoid that. Nope, that happened last time. Can't do it that way. But you make mistakes, but you have options. The next time you'll do it better. Not saying that you won't do the similar, but you're going to do it a little bit differently.
Right.
Yeah, not perfect. You know, nobody will be born perfect. So we are perfect, but sometimes we got that thinking and all that other stuff in there. But, yeah. The next time you do it better. I learned I won't do it that way again.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way I look at it, and keep moving. Can't soak in it. Can't let it get you down. No.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So the next question is, what can you do to prevent repeating them?
Mm-hmm. Pay attention, be aware, give it more thought, and structure it out real good. Yeah.
Okay.
Take structure and process. You have to think. You have to have some awareness there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the next one is, how will you freely give to others without any expectation?
Well, if you're a person, I feel, if you're a person that moves from your heart, you're not going to have expectations anyway. But one thing about freely giving, be careful who you're giving it to, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You have to be careful because a lot of people are takers out there, and they look for givers. And if you move from your heart and you're a heartfelt giver, you got a lot of people out there that hunt that down. You know, just be aware. Stop being who you are. You don't want your heart to ever get frozen. Never.
Yeah.
You don't want a frozen heart. You want to keep it soft no matter what you've been through. But, yeah, just be careful. Like they say, don't pay cash to perils of swine or however that go or whatever. Just, you know, pay attention now. Pay attention because I like to give. I'm a giver. You're a giver. We move from our heart. And some people, when you're that and they're not used to that, they think you're up to something or what they want. I can't do that for you. No, we don't roll that way. You know, you light a candle for another when your path becomes lighter and brighter. And that's really what I'm about. Yeah. And if I can give, I like to see smiles on people's faces. I like to do the Shaq attack on them. I like to, when you least expect it, when I'm able to do, you know, and I like to give stuff that I like. So a lot of times if I can't give what I want to give, I won't give at all. I won't. You know, because I like to give what I like. I'm very, very, I'm a giving person. If I was a billionaire, I'd probably give half of it away just to see people smile and to make them happy. But I'd be very cautious. I'd be done watch them a long time, okay? I would be observant, as we say.
Okay. All right, so the next question is, how will you uplift and encourage another sister?
Wow, that's what we do every day. In my meditation, I do that through my thought process going out into the universe. First of all, we all need to be appreciated, okay? I'm big on appreciating. I'm big on, you can look at someone spent a lot of time and a lot of effort and, you know, the way that they present themselves, you compliment that sister, okay? Compliment that sister. Let her know, you know, or you might, you have to uplift. You have to keep yourself elevated so you can recognize. But compliments and appreciation and a thank you and a beautiful smile, that gives anybody an uplift. No matter what you're going through, you know, well, they say misery loves company, and that is the true thing. But if you don't allow yourself to be miserable, you can always be pleasant. I don't deal with misery too well, and I don't let too many people make me miserable either. That's a skill, believe me. That's a skill. So I always tell people all the time, you shouldn't have to. Actually, you know, everything I've gotten, I've had to fight for it. I've had to fight for everything I've gotten, basically. I said, so you know I know how to fight, don't you? You know I know how to fight because I don't always get what I want. But you learn how to do it. So when you say uplift, a lot of sisters, a sister or brother or anything, ask them how they do it. You know, just words, just smiles, just a compliment. Oh, I like your haircut. And watch them change. Okay? And I love men. I love to see men's hairstyle. I must have been a barber in my other life. Because I recognize a freshly haircut. I recognize it, and I let them know, oh, you just got a nice haircut. And they say, yeah. I say, well, we want you to tell us when our hair looks good, so I know you want to tell us when your hair looks good. Yeah, that kind of stuff, just little gestures, just something. You know, we don't uplift enough. We really don't. We tear down. We tear down. I'm not saying everybody, but it's more tear down and an uplifting. So in order to uplift another person, you have to keep your rope a little bit stronger so that you can pull them up. Yeah. So I do that every day. Sister, brother, the birds, whoever I come in contact with.
Okay.
Makes me feel better, and you do too. You're the most uplifting queen I ever know. Most positive person. I said, how does she do it? Wow. You're a good model. Very good model. For those that are around you. Oh, and I've known you a while, and I've always known you as being that. I said, wow. Remarkable. You're a remarkable woman, Stephanie. Yes,
thank you. You know, one of my coworkers. Yes, one of my coworkers gave me a thermos, right? And she had it personalized, and she said to the unpaid therapist.
Yes, she
because
got you right.
Everyone, because a majority of my coworkers come to me for advice.
Yes.
And
you
always,
yes, because you're always going to listen. That's very important. You're not going to be quick to respond, and you listen. And then you're going to tell them the truth, but it's the way you do it. Most of the time, the Stephanie master that I know, she'll ask you a question to make you figure it out. Okay.
Yeah.
You're with that. Make that person think. You make a person think. Yeah.
Yeah, because you always have to look at the. Yeah, always got to look at the part you played in it.
Why did that happen? Or why do you think they're coming that way? I remember there was I had a senior in faith, and I was speaking with him. I think my grandmother had passed that morning, and I was attending the meeting. And I says, my grandmother passed this morning, but she didn't come to me. You know what he asked me? Are you holding a grudge against your grandmother? And I looked at him. Are you holding a grudge? And I never forgot that question he asked me. But it sure did make me think. Okay? And I had to go back and connect those dots and see if I was holding one or not. But he made me think. He never said, it was very, very deep. But this was a very, very deep person. Very, very deep. He said, are you holding a grudge against your grandmother? That's why she didn't come? I said, everybody that passes, they come to me. I know when they're gone. I disciple with spirits. And he said, are you holding a grudge against your grandmother? And I looked at him. I don't think I was, but it was what he said. And you operate that way, too. You listen, and you pay attention, and you make the person think. Been like that as long as I've known you. That's why I call you the master, okay? So, of course, your coworkers are going to come to you. Because if they go to somebody else, they might get a vase upside their head or depending on what the situation is, but you won't do that. You sit very calmly and say, well, what's wrong? That's you. That's Stephanie. Always been like that. I said, how does she do that? You know, and that was, how does she do that? We'd be ranting and raving and breaking vases and throwing chairs and mad, okay? Like the mad monster. And you sit and you just sit so calmly and wait till all the ruckus go down and then you say, then you could step up. You've always been that. And your daughters are like that too. Yes. And that I can see why they're playing chess. That little one. Those are the two young ladies that I saw at an event. They're chess players. I can see it. I can see them and doing very well. Anything that they decide they want to do, because athletics, You're very athletic. Yes, that, you're just a remarkable person. What can I say? That's why I'm so glad to be connected with you. You have no idea. It's like, oh, no. When we do tell her, oh, well, I can come, I can do the show. No, you can't come on Tuesday. No, any day but that one. Okay? Whether you're in town, out of town, and you can or you don't, that's you, because you're a person that one can depend on. If you're with them, you're with them all the way. And you make them see their errors. And that's where we have to be like that with one another. And that's the way you are. That's why you ask me all these questions. You take me through this psych course. I love every bit of it. I say, this is so much fun. And it is. Because that's letting the listeners know that we're being true. We're opening up. You know what you're dealing with. And we want you to know who we are. That's why we do what we do. That's why we share and care. People say, Sasha, no, we're not seeing in over here. We don't do it that way. That's not how we do it. You're not seeing in. We care and we share. And if it's one person that we save from jumping off the bridge, guess what? We've done our job. So I'm very honored to be a part of you and you a part of me. I really am. So when we say honoring ourselves and honoring others, and we cannot honor anybody until we're true to ourselves, to really know ourselves, profit from our mistakes, know the what and the when and our real purpose, and have no fears, and have no and be confident in the stuff you do and say. Confidence is the key. And most people look at it as arrogance, but it's not. Confidence is something that actually we're all born with. Most of us get it knocked out of us. Okay, the ones that weren't allowed to speak, weren't allowed to, have an opinion, those, they eventually get it back. And then there's those like me that have had a mouth since I could talk and was going to say what I had to say no matter what. No matter what the consequence is, I had to learn how to flip the script to be able to hold back a little bit on that. But I have no problem having dialogue with anyone. And I welcome it, as a matter of fact, because it clears the air and it reduces stress, and I don't have to think about it. I won't carry it too long, because that will bog you down. So with these kind of conversations and these questions and these topics and your book, The Healing of the Wound, as you stated, you went through self-love, boundaries, forgiveness, learning to let go, taking off the mask. It all wraps around to the one enchilada. And then when you can go through all of that and understand all of that, you become that blossoming lotus, don't you? I feel that way. Uh-huh. Yeah, we're sun out here. We're sun. We are the sun. And so of all of you out there are the sun. So, if your beams are a little dim, straighten them up. And don't let nobody bend those beams from your rays, okay? It's possible. And it all depends on you. It all begins and starts with you. But honoring yourself and others is that's the number one thing. And if someone is dishonoring you, you have to get them straight. Now I'm going to be quiet over here. Don't ask me another question. I'm going to flip it back on you. I don't know if you were through with your questions, but here I go getting on this pulpit. That's what you do.
All right. Thank you for your responses.
You're welcome. Yeah, well, I know what you're going to do.
Yeah, so the next question is, how can you create unity in your family and community?
Unity in the family and community. I'm working on that right now, so I really can't answer that question right now. But actually start with yourself. You want to create unity and a relationship, but you have to start a relationship with yourself first. That's back to what you said in the beginning. You have to know who you are. You have to know who you are. Everybody don't want unity. They don't even know how to spell it, okay? In the community, well, because we have so many diverse communities, you have to dig a little bit deeper, because in order to create unity in the community, which I found, you have to know the culture. And you have to get out there and blend, okay? Especially with the diverse communities that we have. Yeah, you have to understand the culture. Understand something about them. Some cultures, they have set ways that they're not being. However, I mean, we're over here in the United Nations over here, okay? So in order to get out in that community, some people just work in one community. I work in several communities, you know. I don't like one group or nothing. I like it very, very diverse because it makes me do my research and be out there to mix and blend to make that smoothie, as I say. So you have to really know the people that you're around. And in order to know the people you're around, you have to observe them, have dialogue with them, you know, in the neighborhoods and the communities, speak. Yeah, you know, talk to the doggies. That's what we do over here. I know more the doggies' names than I know the people's names. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I know the animals more than I know their master. So that's the community. The family dynamics is a different kind of ball game because they, too, have their personalities and they have their beliefs. And just because your family connected is the same blood, doesn't mean that you think alike, okay? Or that everybody's going to follow suit or agree. Families are very difficult to deal with, to create unity, because they feel they don't have to, okay? They, that's what it is. That's what we've been doing, and who the hell are you, okay? So that's a rough one. But when you are here to do a job and when you know who you are, you just have to take action, make effort, and make it work, don't you? It's all on you. It
yep.
begins and ends with you.
Mm-hmm.
It's all. And both of those arenas. But that family, whew. Mm-mm. Nope. Some people you might think is loving and all of that, and then all them different personalities get to show it, and you could be in for a shock. Okay? You say, what? Now, what kind of blood flows through that body? Where did that blood come from? It's a mixture. Yeah, yeah, that's a tough one. That's a tough one. But my feel is that everybody deserves to be honored no matter what. They deserve it, whether they know it or not. And you do your best to give them that honor and that respect in the family and in the community. Whether they accept it or not, it's up to them. But you continue to do it. Never let your heart freeze. That heart shut down. That creates wars, you know. Yeah, you can't get a frozen heart. So you work on yourself to keep your heart soft. People can walk on it, but you be aware. And you have to understand theirs too. Sometimes you look at people and you say if they even have a heart. What's making them pick? Okay. But that's when you get to yourself in your me time and you write your journals and you let those things run across your mind and you try to work them out. And eventually they work out, don't they, Stephanie?
Yes, they do.
Then you know what to do. See, the universe is very powerful. We're all energy out here. And once you realize that we're all energy and we're all part of the cosmos and we're all connected, it makes it a little better. So we're all connected. The good, the bad, and all. We're all connected. And that's a realization that has to come in. And once that comes in, it makes it a little bit easier for you. That's my answer. That's it. And I'm sticking to it.
Yeah, I got you. Yeah.
Stick into
okay.
it. So.
All righty. So, last question.
Okay.
What qualities do you have to support your sisterhood?
what qualities I have to support my sister. I'm a good listener and a good observer. And I've learned how to sit back and observe and pay attention. And that's that. And I don't have to be the one that knows it all, okay? Everybody knows something. So when you put all of that knowledge into a pot, you're supporting and assisting. Everybody is being supported and assisted. So my thing is, my quality is listening and observing and being supportive. I'm a very supportive person. When I know that I'm appreciated. When I support and I see that I'm not appreciated, I don't support that no more.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I get away from it because I have to, you know, appreciation. You don't have to pat a person on the back, but you have to let them know that they're mm-hmm. welcome and that whatever input that takes everybody to get the job done. I like that collaboration. I'm big on collaboration. Mm-hmm. Everybody coming together with their thoughts, minds, and spirit. And it can get done. Like we say, many in body, one in mind. If we all focusing on the same thing and we all come together, it has to be a victory, doesn't it?
That's right.
Okay. I look for victories. Nothing but victories.
Mm-hmm. All right, and then that's the end of the question for this section.
Well,
so
I love you. I love you. I wanted to mention, I was seeing some postings out there, Stephanie, you know, about the organization, and I know now is the marathon. Is that happening, or is that up? Or, you know, I've been, like, going cross country here.
Yeah, it's March 17th.
Okay.
March 17th. Don't forget to donate. Yeah, March 17th.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, I send the link out for the for sponsorship. So.
Okay.
Send me a sponsorship.
Okay.
Yeah, and then also the NCNW, the National Council of Negro Women, we're having our Purple Hat Affair Viewpoint session on May 11th.
May 11th, okay.
From 12 to 4, yeah. And then the Knowledge Shop is having their annual Black Summit, Black Family Summit, and that's going to be March 5th, the day of election. It's going to be at the California Endowment.
I saw that, March
5th. Yes.
What time is that going to happen?
I think it's in the morning. Started at 9 in the morning.
Good. Yeah, because March 5th, that's in Ballot County. You know, they'll have me tied in. I got my people back, you know, it's like celebration time with all the comedies and stuff. I'm out there beating the sidewalks with them. So that's going to be something, but that'll be later on in the evening. So we have a marathon March 17th. We have the Purple Hat May 11th. We'll keep it out there. And the Black Family Summit, March, what day is that? March the 5th at the California Endowment. Okay. I send me a link so people can, if they participate, send me those links so that
yeah,
if I'm going to be mentioning
it. Yeah, I sent you the flyers already.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I can mention it and tell them how they can register or whatever they need to do to participate on that. And I'm looking here, Stephanie, at our countdown. You know, I'm watching these minutes. You know, when you come, I always extend because I don't know where we're going to go. And I love every minute of it. And I know the listeners enjoy it. I know you should have writer's cramps over there. We do it a little bit differently. And I love it. Don't you love it when she give me my therapy sessions? Because you learn a little bit more about how Miss Linda stays woke and how I want to keep you woke. Now, we all have to be woke out here to do what we need to do. It's elevate, 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 elevate our lives conditions, and keeping our spirits high no matter what. No defeat and no retreat, okay? And never, ever, ever give up. Never give up. So, Stephanie, I'm going to close it on out. appreciate you. I'll get this information to you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We've been dealing with some challenges here. But, you know, challenges don't mean nothing, and obstacles are nothing but growth, okay? We welcome them. And listeners, no matter how bad it gets, ride those waves out there. Ride those waves, because the waves that come in from the ocean eventually touches the sand. Keep that in mind. And winter, winter always turns into spring. And I'm going to close it out with that, Stephanie. I love you. Listeners, we love you. And I will get this information to you. Stephanie Haynes, this is the author of The Healing of the Wound. Stephanie, let us know how to get that book fashionably fit. Give us your website to order the book, please. I have a few minutes. Can you give it to us?
Okay. You can actually go to my, send me an email at fashionblyfit22@gmail.com.
Fashionblyfit22@gmail.com. There you go. fashionblyfit22@gmail.com. Contact her. Get that book. It's going to be a keeper. It will carry you from lifetime to lifetime. You can pass it on down generation to generation. It will never change, and it's going to help you out. And this is what we discuss here. This is the master, Stephanie Haynes. Have a wonderful evening. We love you, and thank you for my session today. I just love it when you do that, because we just open up, and it just shows all of our transparency. See, we ain't CNN over here. We care and share, and we know that you guys are enjoying it. Stephanie, we love you. Have a great, great, great evening.
Love
okay?
You too, and thanks for having me.
Thank you. Thank you for being here. Here we go, listeners. Wake up, stay woke, stay calm.
Don't blame your life on a master plan. Collaborate.
They want
to break it up. We give, showing others how to live.